Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, sorry. Thank you. I always be terrible. So Tracy asked the question about the difference between the Torah and the Haftorah. See, the good thing, Lori, is that I started taping, recording this late, is that I didn't get the interruptions in the recording. So the Torah represents the five books of Moses, as some people call it, the Chumash, the Torah, and after the Torah, which is the death of Moshe, begins the books of the prophets. And it's the earlier prophets, the later prophets, the writings, Book of Esther, Chronicles, Job, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, etc., all the writings and all that. That is part of what is known as Nach, or the Nevi'im, or the prophets, the books of the prophets. Those two, by the way, make up what we call the Old Testament in the Christian vernacular.
I prefer the Hebrew Bible.
Yeah. So the Torah is what's read, is the actual, where the 613 commandments are. And there was a time, period of time, where the Jewish people were not allowed to read from the Torah. Different places didn't have access to the Torah throughout our history. You know, we didn't have the nicest of histories. So what the Jewish people did is, in its place, they found a portion from the books of the prophets that, I don't say mimic, but talked about a similar theme for the most part of what the Torah reading was referencing. And instead, when they had no access to reading the Torah itself, they read from the books of the prophets a section that themed to what the regular Torah reading would have been. So today, although we have, thank God, many years, we've had access back to our Torah, the five books, the Torah scroll, but that the traditions that we had, that we began, we kept up with, and therefore we continue to read. And that's why it's that addition, the Haftorah, it's that addition that we read after the Torah. That's probably him. Thank you. Mm-hmm. After we read the Torah. Also, it gives, you know, the bar mitzvah boy or the bar mitzvah girl a little something, you know, to participate in.
To ask you about that.
it's another way of honoring or sort of in that way. But for the most part, welcome. For the most part, it's meant as that's how it started. It started basically for the most part where we didn't have either the ability or access to reading of the Torah itself. And we began reading from the books of the prophets, which they didn't find so threatening. Also, the books of the prophets, is interesting to note, do not contain any of the 613 commandments. There are no, after the Torah, all 613 are in the Torah itself. We see how in the books of the prophets, the 613 commandments were kept. And we learn a lot from the prophet, the books of the prophets, and how to fulfill a lot of the things, but it doesn't introduce anything new in that way. All 613 are in the five books of Moshe.
And they are all in Vayikra?
Say that again?
All of the 613, are they all in one book? Are they all in Vayikra?
No, they're spread out throughout all five. Out. Mostly four, but maybe one or so in Genesis. Two.
There's some chumashim that tell you how many mitzvahs.
Yes, we have a chumash here that on every weekly parsha goes through and enumerates how many positive commandments and how many negative commandments are found in each of the weekly readings, and you can add them up yourself. You know, it goes to 248 positive, 365 negative, 248 plus 365 is 613. And then there are a number of books, which I thought about doing actually at one point, of going through the 613, just never got around to that. But there certainly are books that specifically go through one by one, tell you what it is, what the verse is, and any details that are needed. I remember in some schools, not in Toronto, but I remember when I was in New York many years ago, I don't even know if they still do this anymore, as the generations seem to diminish a little bit in terms of what kids are learning in school. But certainly, kids used to learn all 613. They knew them. All you do, you go over to a kid and you'd say, pick a number between 1 and 613. And I'd say, I don't know, 143. And they'd say, mitzvah number 143 is either a positive or a negative. And it says, this is the mitzvah shenemar, which means as this is the verse that we learn it from. And they knew all 613. It was really amazing.
It's not
quite, right? Yeah, so whatever.
What happened? Why not now?
Only because, you know, I had a Rebbe, I had a teacher when I was in seventh grade. The Talmud that we learned, we had to learn by heart. And we got tested all the time by heart. We had to know it by heart. I don't think they do that anymore. Again, you know, kids' levels of learning have changed. Delivery methods have changed. A lot of things in learning has certainly changed over the years. Aside from COVID. COVID created its own change. But aside from that, just not the same. One of my kids went through a teacher that had a tremendous amount of homework. I mean, they knew, people knew. There are, in this particular school, there are multiple, three or four classes per grade. So at the beginning of the year, the principal would have the job of trying to figure out, you know, okay, this student would be best in this one's class, and this student would go to this one's class. And people who went to this particular Rebbe in third grade knew that this particular teacher gave a tremendous amount of homework. And I don't think he does it anymore, only because people don't learn the same way anymore.
And it depends on, you know, and it depends on them, because the more homework you give, the more homework you have to, the more time you have to spend grading the homework.
He didn't have a problem with it. That wasn't from the teacher's perspective.
Okay. The parents also.
Anyway,
the parents are different.
Right.
You know, parents have to spend time with their child. And do I want to spend time with my child? And I got to do the homework and learning.
If it's, you got 10 kids.
But 10 years ago, 15 years ago, everybody but things have changed. There's no question. I will explain it this way as well. 2,000 years ago, our entire Talmud, where I come from, the Talmud, it's like it doesn't even fit on my screen, you can't even see my hands, is pretty big. Everybody knew the whole thing by heart. By heart. Everybody. How many people do you have today that know the whole thing by heart? You? I don't know. But I don't know the whole thing.
In Olam Haba we'll know it by heart.
Rabbi,
well, there won't be anything written. Yeah.
From Montreal.
Yeah.
I'm saying they're not the average person.
Right. There are some people that are gifted with photographic memory and all kinds of things. Anyway, so that's just getting up a little bit on a tangent, just showing that the learning was a little bit different. So getting back to your question, Tracy, the Torah and the Haftorah, one is the actual 5 books of Moses, and the other is from the books of the prophets. Yaakov. Well, Yaakov asked his question to remind you again, because we're going to get to our Sidur. Please have your AC door, hopefully the art scroll ready. Yes, go ahead. Kacha, kacha.
You're very muffled.
Just try it without your fancy headpiece.
Okay, can you hear me now? Yeah. The book that I have that lists every single parsha, all the positive and all the negative commandments, and which ones are applicable today, which ones are only applicable in Israel. What's the name? What's that book called? I drew a mind blank.
No, Sefer HaMitzvos. There's the Minchas Chinuch. I know what you're thinking of, though. You're thinking of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch.
No, it's. I just forgot the name of the.
Or the Chinuch. Basically, it's the Chinuch that goes through. You know.
I think it's Sefer HaKinuch.
In the fridge, in the kitchen, there's some a couple
Thank
of
you.
Cups. Thank you. Some cups. To the left of the fridge on the counter. Okay, anybody else? Any other questions before we get started? Michael, good to see you. For those of you who are on screen and can't see because I don't have the screen going back the other way, Elio, David, and Baruch are here at my home live. Yeah, that's one. Okay, so I'm in my Sidur, I have the Sfard version. So sorry for that. You may have it if you have the Ashkenaz version or a different version of whatever Sidur you have. I'm on page 3. Last week we talked about beginning of upon arising, that when a person wakes up, we talked about the Modeh Ani. The first thing, I don't go around telling people how to be Jewish and whatever. But a good thing to do is not really sort of a religious thing per se, but a person should do it religiously, is to thank Hashem as soon as you open your eyes. You wake up in the morning, I got up, thank God, I woke up. People take waking up for granted. You know, we do it 365 days a year, whatever number multiplied by whatever age we are. 19, we multiply it, but we take it for granted because, you know, we hope that tomorrow we wake up, but not all the time do people wake up. Not all the time do people have that opportunity to say that Modeh Ani, thank you Hashem for another day, that one more time. So we begin our day by saying Modeh Ani. I gratefully thank, just to use the Art Scroll translation, I gratefully thank you, O living and eternal King, for you have returned my soul within me with compassion. Abundant is your faithfulness.
With great faith. The faith is in the fact that I'm going to serve you.
Say it again, that what?
The faith.
Yeah, the faith
is in me that you had faith in me that you would let me wake up so that I can serve you again.
No. The way the Art School is translating, it's another way of looking at it. The actual translation is Rabba Emunasecha, that your abundance is your faithfulness. In other words, that Hashem will return our soul. Every person has a Cheskas Chai. Every person has a I'm trying to remember. How did I translate the word chazaka?
Something that happens 3 times.
Yeah, like an ongoing, because it happens, we sort of an expectation. We thank Hashem that for his giving us that expectation. We hope that when we go to sleep, that we're going to wake up the next morning. So, but does Hashem owe me? We talked about this last week. Does Hashem owe me anything? Hashem owes me nothing. I owe Hashem everything. I owe Hashem my life. So I owe God for allowing my heart to continue to beat, for my lungs to be able to diffuse carbon dioxide and bring in oxygen and allow the oxygen to do whatever it has to do so that I have the faculties within my body. And that is a huge blessing. And everything, how it works, we talked about the digestive system, speaking about with my other class. Again, even when we go to sleep. So often people think that, you know, it's like I turn off my car at nighttime, it just sits on the driveway, and, you know, sort of it's off. My body is not off. If my body is off, I'm no longer alive. Baruch Hashem, my body is working at a little bit of a different stage, a little bit different manner. Heartbeat slower, breathes slower, different things happen. So much happens to the body while a person sleeps. So much restoration happens to the body when a person sleeps. Sleep is good for a person. It's when a body gets a chance to heal itself of whatever abuse I put it through during the day. People do abuse their bodies. Even physical exercise, some people overdo it. They just need to give their muscles an opportunity to rest. So we have to sleep. Hashem is so interesting. I'm not sure, I'm not aware, maybe there's some kind of a condition, but I'm not aware of a soul on the planet that does not have to sleep. Sooner or later, I don't care how, whatever the amount of time is, sooner or later, everybody has to sleep. Sooner or later, everybody has to eat. Hashem made us that way, right? You can hunger strike all you like. Sooner or later, you will die if you don't eat. A person needs nourishment. There's certain things that a person needs. And we talked last week, again, it's just a quick review, about the blessing, the after blessing from eating and drinking, water, some basic things, not from washing from a meal, where we make a special blessing, Borei Nefashot Rabot V'Chesronam. We thank Hashem for creating us and our deficiencies. Hashem created deficiencies within us, which makes us have requirements. If I'm missing something, it means I need. So for example, gas in your car. Car does not run without gas. So that is a deficiency in the car. It has a need. It will eventually run. If you don't put more gas in, it will run out of gas. So Hashem created us humans, but he also created deficiencies within us that require us to do maintenance on our body. Rest, eat, these are all maintenance things. Unfortunately, sometimes people confuse maintenance with pleasure or necessity. So people eat to abundance as opposed to eating as a necessity. I just need to, you know, that's what I need. But people do things that people sleep. Yeah, sleep is a necessity, but people take it to an abundance. You know, I go overboard on it. And for my own pleasure, I like to sleep in. I like to eat a lot. People do certain indulgences with their body, not recognizing sometimes the harm that they are actually doing their body when they do and go above and beyond. So I thank you, Hashem. The first thing is, Hashem, thank you for restoring my soul. And we see here in the little letters, those are the instructions. The Jew should wake up with the gratitude to Hashem for having restored his faculties with a lion-like resolve to serve his creator. Before getting out of bed, before doing anything else, before even saying hello to your maybe roommate or spouse or whatever it is, before saying good morning, before saying Hashem comes first. I thank you, Hashem, for giving me enough, for waking me up, returning my soul. Technically, it means that when a person is sleeping, one portion of each individual soul goes to heaven. So it's sleeping is like one considered like 1/60th of death. And that's why, just like when we go to a cemetery, we wash our hands when we come out. The same as when we wake up in the morning, Hashem restores our soul. A dead person basically does not have their soul. So they are a lifeless body. They are without a soul. So there's a certain spiritual uncleanliness that prevails when all of a person's soul is not within them, and that happens when a person sleeps as well. So we wash our hands one, two, three, four, five, six. However, you know, it's different than washing for bread, where you do one hand and then you do the other hand. And this way we alternate hands. And it's going to tell you how to do that exactly in the next little letters. By the way, if anybody has any questions, by all means, this is not a lecture. You can raise your hand or whatever.
Just to run your hands under the water, even six
times. Okay, it's going to say right now. In the next, in the little letters, right after the Modeh Ani, wash the hands according to the ritual procedure, which is pick up the vessel of water with the right hand, pass it to your left, and pour water over the right. Then with the right hand, pour over the left. Follow this procedure until the water has been poured over each hand three times. So you go, pick it up, pick up the vessel, you fill it, fill the vessel. Pass me the vessel over there, please. It's easier when they have handles.
It's not here.
Oh, it's not there. Don't worry about it. Okay, don't worry about it. Here, fill up, you know, or whatever it is, open the tap. Doesn't matter what hand you're holding it with. Fill up, fill with water. If you need more water, you can always add. So this is now full with water. To my right hand, passing it to my left hand. Pour over my right hand. Pass it, left hand. Two, that's one. You can either count one, two, three, four, five, six, or one and one. Two and two, three and three. Add water whenever you need as necessary, but just get, you know, your, wash your hands. And that is the procedure. Okay, any questions? Yes, Carol.
This is a mitzvah to be done by all men and women?
Correct. Now, I saw brought down that there's, it's called, in Yiddish, it's called Nagelwasser, which is water for your nails, fingernails, the ends, for those who speak Yiddish, brought down the importance of a person accepting upon oneself to be stringent on washing one hands in the morning. That was, you shouldn't rub your, oh, good morning, whatever, let me go wash nagel butt, let me go wash my, no. Wake up, I say Modeh Ani, the water, then wash away, because there's a certain spiritual, I should say ritual, impurity that is found at the nails. I don't want to get into all the mystical stuff. Ritual impurities flow to the extremities, which is why we wash our hands. Whatever, not for now. Not even to touch your face, your eyes, your nose. What, I mean, you're sneezing. For sure not food. So the first thing is that don't touch your butt. Go right to the water. Modeh Ani, right to the water.
I know a lot of people keep a basin and a cup and bottles of water in their bedroom under, you know, right in their
correct
bedside table.
Correct. You could walk to the washroom if it's not too far. Some people say you shouldn't walk too far. I would just share that when I renovated my home, one of the things, I don't know why it got into my, I said, now what I'm going to be stringent on, I put a little washing thing right next to my bed. Got a sink right next to my bed.
What?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, right. Exactly.
Very cool.
Exactly.
Very cool.
Literally right next to my bed.
I have a tough one. I'm not so fancy.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I don't think I've seen it anywhere else. It's just one of those things.
So even a bottle of water and a basin? What? Just even a bottle of water and a basin next to you? And
yeah.
So don't touch,
you know, like we have your eyes,
don't touch your face until you wash your hands.
Correct. So some people like the washing cups that you have when you wash for bread. You can get one of those, you know, $5 in wherever. Or maybe now inflation has it at $50. And you fill it up before you go to sleep in the basin. Leave it right next to your bed.
Then you have to take care of the water.
Then you spill out the water. Yeah, it's not meant to be drinking water. You don't want to drink.
But you can do it in the bathroom as well.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Most people either do it in the bathroom sink, but most like very religious people, what they'll do is they'll actually flush it down the toilet.
Right. Okay. So next question. Yes.
You mentioned something that I have heard a million times. When you sleep, your soul goes to heaven. And I heard that many, many times. But is it possible you can explain just a little bit of that? Because it's not an easy concept to grasp. That when you're sleeping, your soul goes to heaven.
So we'll keep it simple, which is, I'll quote what it says in The Way of God. Michael and I studied this a long time ago. That when each person has five levels of souls, and they are individually named. Whatever their names are is not relevant for right now. And one of them, the highest level of the soul that each person contains, it goes from the loftiest level, so five levels in each one of us. It's not just a one soul, there are five levels of soul within us. And the highest one is the closest to Hashem, and the lowest one is our animalistic soul. So the highest one goes, when a person goes to sleep, that highest level separates from the person. The other four remain with the person, which is what keeps a person alive, because when a person passes away, all five leave the body and return to Hashem. And so that fifth one goes back to Shemayim. And when a person wakes up in Shemayim, they are actually, in a way, saying, they are telling that soul, go back into the body and wake up. Again, it's for the book of The Way of God, Derech Hashem, written by the same author that we learn on Thursday nights, The Path of the Just, the Ramchal. Don't want to get too much, but certainly now. When a person dreams, there are times where a person has dreams that actually eventually come true. Sometimes that comes from when that person's soul is in heaven. That's when that soul may, for whatever reason, come into contact with something that may happen in the future, which is why sometimes people have that, ooh, something's up, something's wrong, something, a premonition, right, a gut feeling, whatever it is.
You also read it.
So, again, that's for a different book, different class. But that is, and that happens because we see in the Torah, plenty of dreams. Joseph in the dreams, so much of Joseph and King Pharaoh, all this was dreams, and these dreams came from that lofty level. The flip side, by the way, before we move on, because I want to move on from that's not prayer per se, the flip side is that the lowest level of soul is our animalistic soul, and that is that we are supposed to really try and, the word is, ignore. Rein them in, whichever way, not listen to our more animalistic soul, which gives us that more primitive desire and want to be very animalistic. We are very similar to animals in many, many ways. And we talked about this many times. Again, just mentioning briefly that one of the main difference between humans and animals is that animals live on instinct, which is living on that animalistic soul. And humans live on, because they don't have a higher level soul. Animals only have that animalistic soul. We as humans have that animalistic soul plus additional souls that are of a higher level. So as long as we struggle, work to try and follow our more lofty souls, we then act by our intellect as opposed to our animalistic soul, which is by instinct. Yes, Michael.
You mentioned how the Torah has several places where it talks about dreams. I'm thinking of Jacob's dream where he, the famous Jacob's ladder. Doesn't he dream of a ladder that ascends to heaven?
Correct.
Does that have anything to do with the part of your soul that ascends to heaven while you sleep?
Well, it's the same idea, meaning that he dreamt that came to him in a dream, because that is a person when they are at, to an extent, in a way of looking at it, at a more lower level, more primitive level, a more dead-like level. And sometimes it is only in that way that a person's soul can ascend heaven, get the information that it needs. Sometimes it's a prophecy. Prophets would gain their prophecy in a trance-like, sleep-like state. So again, this is getting into other stuff. I want to get back to our...
Yeah, I'm just thinking, because of course the other parts of the story where I think an angel comes and does battle with Jacob, and isn't it, it's an angel? And
whole other thing.
Yes, there's a whole lot of stuff to that one. So it's okay. Whatever makes me want to look into it more, a good thing.
Exactly. But very good. You are on the right track. Okay, in our prayer book, the next thing it talks about, so this is sort of where we're at, is donning the tzitzis and donning the talus. We talked about these are mitzvahs for men, about tzitzis and talus. So this is basically before prayer and putting on tefillin. So I'm going to skip those. And in the prayer book, I don't actually say it, but there is what's known as a prayer before the prayer. You know, sometimes people may say there's the meeting before the meeting, or the meeting after the meeting, or sometimes like the fellowship, or this is like the prayer before the prayer. So now, in my book, you have the Ashkenaz. Let me see the front cover of yours. You have a sitter. Oh, you have the RCA. That's the one. Leora, that's what I was telling you today. That's the RCA. That's the one that has the State of Israel and all that in there. Where'd you get that from?
Costco.
Costco
Wilson, yeah.
Sells the art. What?
Right? Yeah, weird. They do.
Yeah. How much was that?
$15.
Wow.
I thought it's not the brown one, but
that's very cheap.
That's very cheap.
Right? How much?
That's a good price.
Maybe it would be $35.
I don't know that much, but it would be a lot. Yeah, you won't get the RC one.
How much? How much is it?
$15 at Costco and
Rosa. For the sitter?
Yeah.
For the it's the RCA, which is so what page do you have? Let me see.
So
what does that mean?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different print. It's on a different
see the what it looks like.
It's just the
it's black, not brown. Really, look
I don't know if you can read where it says the words RCA, Rabbinical Council.
Yeah, RCA. Okay. I wasn't sure what it stood for.
And that you bought at Costco?
Yeah, but on Wilson. No. Or not Wilson, the one up there by Yorkdale. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what is different about it?
So the page numbers are going to be a little bit different.
Some footnotes are different.
Because different. Yes, footnotes are a little bit different.
The introduction was different. So when he was doing his, I had bought a copy of the brown one.
I see.
Five mines, so I could use.
No. So on mine, I'm on page 15. On this one, I'm on page 13. You'll be right, pretty close to where the morning blessings, that's the title, morning blessings. We actually went through this last week, so we're just in a way reviewing, but I saw a hand up. Somebody had a question. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, W had a question.
Oh, you talk a little bit of the shot. You're not talking about Kuban. So no. The prayer before the prayer.
Yeah, no. That was a whole thing from Isaiah.
One second. You said you don't say it.
Yeah, right.
So you're not talking about the Kaddish. You're not talking about Kabbalah.
I'm talking about Tefillah, Kedem, Tefillah.
There's okay,
I never heard of Tikkun Isaiah. Okay, we went through this last week. Again, just a quick review. Morning blessings. Some people say some of it. Some people say none of it. Some people say all of it. And just turning pages as we move along. because I remember we spoke about this. There are the 13 on page, where you would be for you 19, for me 21, would be somewhere in there. You'll have the 13 blessings that all begin with, blessed are you, Hashem, King of our universe. Yes. In here is also a prayer that one says before learning Torah. So the truth is, before one studies Torah in the morning, one should say that blessing of learning Torah. Because we always make a blessing before we do a mitzvah. Learning Torah is a mitzvah. Technically, for those of you who don't say blessings in the morning, technically you should say that blessing before you come to class and say that blessing. Not for now. But there are some morning blessings. But I remember talking about last week, and hopefully you penciled it in. That's why I wanted to review this. So well, it's for me page 29, for you probably page 27, and for you out there in the Ashkenaz, somewhere around there. There were those, that paragraph would begins with the words, always let a person be God-fearing privately and publicly. That is something I highly recommend people say every day. Every single day.
So do we say the Akedah?
You don't have to say the Akedah.
But just that, but that
it's goes, just right? after the paragraph, it's right before the Shema. We talked about this last week.
Right, which continues
on for a couple of pages. It includes the Shema and goes until offerings. Where's your Tilas Hashem?
It's here.
I'm sure it's there.
Rabbi?
Yep.
What about Elohai Neshama?
Yeah, so that's in the early ones. So like I said, you know, each one to their own, depending on how much time you have. I say all of those. I say everything at the front. But for everyone here, I would highly suggest, I only make suggestion, that from always let a person be, from there until offerings, which is in bold letters, that you make a point of Keep going. After Shema, keep going. Right there, there, offerings.
I say
it. Where is
it?
Yeah, of course you say
it.
Yeah, of course. I know you say it. Yes, Tracy.
So this is something I just wanted to point out that I noticed, that there is one line that men don't say that women do, and that is, blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, for having made me according to his will.
Correct.
And there's just a note. It says, this blessing for having made me according to his will is not said by men and is therefore unique to women. It is a woman's unique opportunity to offer thanksgiving to God for her special role as a transmitter of our illustrious tradition.
Correct. Yes. Do you have a question?
That was it. I don't need to add anything else. I was just pointing.
That's pretty good. I don't need to add any additional
commentary.
Yeah, that's fine. That's a my sidur as well. Okay. So now, the prayer we talked about last week, the focal point of each of the three daily prayers is the Amidah. Some people call it the Amidah, the Shemoneh Esrei, the 18 blessings. That is the focal point. The only question is, what is our lead up to the Amidah? So in the morning, there are what it is known as a couple of sections. If you flip to, certainly by page 65, 67, 69, you will see that on the top, where it says Shachar's weekday morning service, to the right of that, in small letters, it will say Pesukei Dezimra, which means verses of song. Most of this, not all, but most of it comes from Psalms. And these are introductory Psalms that are said and go on for a number of pages until, in my prayer book, will be approximately page 89. So you will be 87, and some of you will be approximately right around there, or you will see some words in bold. A lot of bold words on there. Blessed are you, especially on the Hebrew side. What do you have it on? On 87?
87.
Yeah, 87. So that begins the and you can always see what where you're at, because at the top of the page, where it said Pesuke de Zimbra on the top right of the page, it will now change to Shema and its blessing. So that is technically where the morning Shema is said in the prayer format. Yeah, there's a Shema that was earlier in what I told you in that prayer to say earlier on. But this is the Shema in its blessings. And there are two blessings before the Shema and one blessing afterwards. Again, I'm not telling you what to say. I'm just telling you, just giving you a comfort level with turning pages in the Siddur.
So Rabbi, before you say the Amidah, there you said there's a spot where you start before that?
So I'm saying all of this is before the Amidah. The Amidah is not until about page 100 or 103, 101, 103, 99, whatever. So that's where the Amidah, and it will say on the top of the page, Shemone Esrei, that you'll know. So everything before the Shemone, just before the Shemone Esrei, is Shema and its blessings.
So where does the
is Pesuke de Zimra, which are introductory songs.
Where does it start? Where you're, I'm confused. Like after the morning, after you say like that whole. Hold on a second.
Again, Tracy. Shemone Esrei and Amidah are synonymous.
Yes, I know that. I know. I'm just trying to find out where you start. I say everything.
So don't. You can't ask me where I start.
Okay.
Everybody should say what they have time to be able to say.
So, but I just don't start the Amidah just right off the bat. The Shemone Esrei right off the bat, right? I have to.
You know, as a beginner, if that's all you're going to do, then that's not where you want to get to. That's not your goal. But that's a starting point. That's correct.
I'll figure it out eventually.
Okay. So this is the turning pages. And then, so now, Leo and I had a discussion earlier today. So if there's something that you have in the Siddur, Leo, that you may have in your art scroll, or something that you wanted to ask about turning pages that you mentioned was out of order or something like that, by all means.
Well, up until here, it's the same thing. I have the woman's one, so the page is different. So I have to look.
how different? Like, where's your morning Shemone Esrei, or what page are you on?
71.
Seven in an art scroll?
Yeah, it's a woman's one, that's why.
Oh, yeah, that one. Okay.
Tracy, you have a woman's one also?
Okay, Leora, you can help me because...
I have a woman's one that was gifted to me from someone in this group.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So right now we're on 71. So if you want me to interpret, I can.
That's why if we were all together in the shul, we'd all just take the same one that the shul uses and it would be easier, but we're at the mercy of everyone with their own.
Because Tracy, a lot of people, what they'll do is like there are certain sections where a person really kind of resonates with particular parts. So that's what they will start with. And then you kind of just add on as you get more comfortable and whatnot. But as a beginner, that's kind of a more easier. Yes, you're supposed to go right through it, but between time and everything else.
So you do that whole thing. Do you do all the offerings and all those kind of things? Or?
I mean, if you're a beginner, you probably
again,
do, because there's certain sections, but.
It will take you way too long.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Between when you finish and you get to offerings until the part where you're leading up to the Amidah,
What I suggested that you say in the morning until the offerings might be all you'll have time for at the beginning. Get good at that.
Okay.
I'm just here to give you an overview of what the Siddur looks like and how it works. And then what you should actually say is more of an individual on an individual basis,
which we an hour and a half, very first time.
Okay. Yes.
Say it again. It took you an hour and a half.
Very first time I put the sitter in, it was an hour and a half. So, right?
There's
Rabbi. I just had a thought, and I don't have too many positive ones today. So, is it possible to switch Sunday and Tuesday that way? Sunday mornings, we can learn prayer all together in the Siddur, and Tuesday nights, we can learn Pirkei Avot.
I thought you meant switch the days. I don't know.
Baruch is correct. Only if we switch the days in the calendar.
Very funny. Very funny. No, but I thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but we will see, because this won't take us very long. We're moving right along. So the Shemoneh Esrei is, like I said, the focal point, the talking time that I am with Hashem. This, so, and you'll see on the Shemoneh, where it begins, on the page 103, or Baruch, page 101, I think, or
what, 99.
Yeah, 99. So you'll be in there, and it'll say in letters, Shemoneh Esrei Amida, and in the instructions, it will say, Moses advanced through three levels. Do you see, do you have that there? Moses advanced three levels of holiness when he went up to Sinai, meaning Mount Sinai. Therefore, we take three steps forward as we approach God in the Shemoneh Esrei prayer. So technically what we do is, okay, let's continue on with the instructions. Remain standing with the feet together while reciting. So actually, okay, well, it doesn't say. Actually, a person should take three steps back wherever you're standing. You take three half steps back, go, and then three half steps forward. So you end up in the place where you started. And then it says, remain standing with the feet together while reciting Shemoneh Esrei. I'll explain shortly. It should be recited with quiet devotion and without any interruption, verbal or otherwise. Excuse me, I just got a phone call. So, Shemoneh Esrei, God, hold on just 1 minute, please. God, I'll be right back with you. Hi. Yeah, pizza? Pizza. Oh, sorry, God. Sorry for the interruption. Yeah, what was that, God? What were we up to? So, you think I'm being facetious? Unfortunately, I am not. You're laughing. You know it's true.
It's very people, forget about the telephone. It's one of good.
That's why I believe the Siddur app.
Yeah, so some people have this. Some people have the Siddur
app. Siddur app is very important. It doesn't look close.
Right. So some people, you could set it that the Siddur app does not, like, disables everything else. You won't get any emails and buzzing.
I'll open it up to pray. Oh, I have a Twitter. Oh, let me just check what's happening.
Each one to their own.
Rabbi, you know I'm a polite guy, right? I once asked someone a question. I said, do you mind if I daven while you guys are talking? Is that okay?
Not really. Unless you really, really know them.
I actually did, and they got a chuckle over it.
Okay.
I heard something similar once.
Sorry, 1 second, please. You got to be really careful with that, because some people can get pretty upset at you. You got to. Yes, the other.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so the reason that we take the three steps back and the three steps forwards is because it's kind of like you going up to the king, that's why.
Correct. Yaakov, Yoeli, somebody.
I just I want to just go back just to the Shema for 2 seconds. It says in my Siddur, as I think it does in most, that, and this is just FYI for our Chai family here on the meeting, it says it's preferable to sit while you say the Shema. Is that what people should do if they can?
If that's what it says in your Siddur. Follow instructions. That's the theme. Siddur, the word Siddur does not mean prayer book. The word Siddur means an order. It's giving you the order. Although sometimes in a prayer book, you got to flip here and flip there. And today we skip this, tomorrow we skip that. Now it's Rosh Chodesh. Now we got to skip to that. That's for another time. But Siddur actually means an order. And especially the Art Scroll Siddur and a lot of today's newer versions of the Siddur give you all these instructions. Follow instructions.
That's like Seder, right?
That's correct.
Right.
So if you have, if you Svard, follow the Svard instructions. Ashkenaz, Tilis, whatever, Chabad, follow. Each one will have its instructions to help with a person with the customs that they are from. If you're not sure which one you should be using, check with your local rabbi. So now the instructions continue. It should be recited with quiet devotion without an interruption, verbal or otherwise, although it should not be audible to others. One must pray loudly enough to hear himself. So, you know, especially if you're by yourself, say it a little bit louder that it's sort of audible to yourself. But you don't have, it's not something you should say loud because God can hear. It's not like I'm talking to you. God hears everything that I'm saying. If I'm,
well, not like a protest.
Yes, not a protest.
Right? So not right.
So I'll just end by saying, you know, this is what we're up to over here. Somebody calls me today and says, Rabbi, I have to speak with you. Yeah, what's up? What's on your mind? I'm very angry with God. I need to rebel against God. Okay? Why? Because God isn't being very kind to me. Okay? Now I got hit with this disease and that disease and COVID and whatever. Just today. I guess COVID's still going around. So I said to this person, probably for a longer discussion, but I'm just curious, what are you doing for God? Well, I'm a good person. I'm doing, you know, I'm keeping clean, my side clean. Well, our service to God isn't about what did I not, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't kill, I didn't steal, it's not about what I didn't do. My service to God has to be about what I did do. And my analogy was a person in the gym. This is our spiritual, the Chai Center is our spiritual gym where we come to work out our spirituality. It's something we need to do. You take out a siddur and you read. You don't scan. I once had somebody else who was at my house. We just scan the prayers. I said, okay, get yourself a scanner and scan the prayers. I don't know, what do you want me to tell you? We say the prayers. The prayers are meant to be said. You know, they're written in the, we talked about this in the overview. So I said, are you doing the do things? Are you praying to Hashem for what you want? And the person said, I didn't know I had to do that. I said, well, how can you be upset with Hashem when you haven't done the things that Hashem wants from you? Hashem wants to hear from you. Not only complaints, God, I don't like you anymore. Like, have you said hello? Did you say good morning? Can you imagine? Just walk up to some random guy in the street and said, I don't like you anymore. Who are you? Like, did you say hello? Did you say good morning? Like, do I know you? And you just, I don't like you anymore? We got to do the do things for Hashem. We do the do things for Hashem. and Hashem gives us whatever, okay, for a longer discussion. But the first thing is, a person needs to ask themselves, am I doing the due things that I should be doing for Hashem? And really that begins with prayer. And that's why we're going through this on Tuesdays. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it is 8:30. Thank you all for, can't believe the time. Thank you all for joining. We are back here tomorrow night. Actually, tomorrow night, God willing, we will be live. Hopefully we'll get more than just the two gentlemen sitting in front of me that want to come live to the office. Everybody.
Traditionally, everybody
used to come Wednesdays. There was a time that I even didn't put this thing on Zoom because I want everybody, but whatever.
I'm saying, no, some people feel uncomfortable. Some
women feel uncomfortable. Yeah, there'll be women, there'll be men, there'll be whatever. Tomorrow night at the office. And in the meantime, unless there are any other questions or comments, wishing you all a great evening.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks
thank
for joining
you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes,
with pleasure.
Nice.
Yes, Carol. Leora, say hello to Carol. Carol, meet Leora. Carol,
hi. How are you? Very nice to meet you, Leora. I think you were at another meeting or a few other Tuesday night meetings, I believe, before this one. Something like that. Yeah, one of them. I just kind of discovered it. Are you really with the shul
yeah, Carol's the administrator. Carol's my administrator here at the Chai Center.
Gotcha.
Everything goes through Carol.
Gotcha. And member of the Chai Center. Yeah. So gotcha. Welcome. Thank you so much. Thank you. I have a question, Rabbi, and maybe you answered it, but I apologize. I was maybe also taking notes. So I may have missed it, but I'm gonna do this by the source. In the art scroll that you've gifted. Right. So this one. So I'm going right back to page 3. This is where I'm confused. I'm looking at Chabad.org and I'm looking at the art scroll. And so my confusion lies with the blessing to recite after you said Modenini and you go and you wash your hands. Chabad.org says, say the Netilat Yadayim and you say follow your Siddur, which has a different, it says, recite this prayer afterwards. It's not Netilat Yadayim, it's something else, which it's a longer one. It's on page 3 in this one. So what is the right? I thought Netilat Yadayim was what the prayers say before having a meal.
For the Chabad one is because there's a lot more psalms in it.
Well,
sorry? The reason that the Chabad one is different is because there's more psalms in it.
So, Carol, excellent question.
I didn't understand the answer, unfortunately.
Right, so we don't have that. I'll explain to
you.
Right. Watch the question we said. So, Carol, if you turn in your Siddur, I'm going to guess page 15. Well, let's say that was page, you had page 3 at the same. So do you have page 15? Is that Matovu? How goodly are you at the top of page of your page 15?
Morning blessing,
and then
you have it on page 13. Okay, so Carol, from where you were,
yep.
You'll have what's called introductory prayer. There's upon arising on the top of your page. On the right side, where you started on page 3, upon arising.
Yeah.
Turn the page, dawning, talus, and tefillin. Turn the page, dawning, tefillin. Turn the page, dawning, tefillin. Next is introductory prayer, right?
Yeah, I've got the
Matovu. Okay, you have the Matovu?
I found it.
Okay, so what page is that, by the way?
12 in Hebrew.
Okay, so 13. You're a page behind me. Turn the page. About halfway down the page, or 3/4 of the way on page 15, you will see there in the instructions. Although many hold that the blessing of Al Netilat Yadayim regarding washing the hands should be recited immediately after the ritual washing of the hands upon arising, as you found in the Chabad Siddur, Others customarily recite it at this point. Similarly, some recite the Asher Yatzar. So that's why I said each one should follow the custom of their Sidur. If you're Chabad, that's where you say your Al Netzilat Yadayim right after that. If you're following Ashkenaz, it's basically the same. You say it here.
Okay, so this is a different prayer, and I don't know this one. This is the one that's following.
Yes, yes. Rishis Chachma. You don't say Rishis Chachma, right? Yeah, Chabad does not say.
Which
right.
Page was that?
See, the other difference is as well. Okay, whatever. It gets yep. more technical when these blessings are said. That's correct. So okay. I didn't talk about the Rishis Chachma, but yes, Ashkenaz would say the prayer that you have there in the book.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Very good. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a great evening.
Bye.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Take care.
Thank you.